Hi, this is Dr. Linda Travolute, and I'm so glad that you've got this audio in your hands because I know, listen to me, I know this is going to boost your prayers and help you get some great results. Now, I need you to know that this is a part of Prayer Rocket Academy, so the audio that you're listening to right now was originally created to be a part of that program. After the program was completed, and I will say that the program has 10 pieces to it, 10 audio components, and after I completed that program, I decided to make each of the components available on its own. So that's what you have here. This is a standalone audio component, but as you listen to it, I need you to know that you're going to hear about a workbook. So when I refer to the workbook, I don't want you to be in the dark. The workbook came with the original program, Prayer Rocket Academy, but I'm going to put that workbook in your hands for free. So I'm going to give that to you as a bonus. If you have this audio, you can go to my website at lindatravolute.com and click on the resource tab where you can download the bonus material for this audio. Just look for the audio title, and you'll have an opportunity to download that workbook section for free. And you can either use it on a tablet such as your iPad or your iPhone, or you can even print it out so that you can write on it if you prefer hard copy paper. But if you're good with the digital product, you can use a program like Adobe or Goodreader, any kind of a PDF reader to put notes on it and really make good use of that workbook section, because it's going to help you put into practice the things that you hear on this audio. Okay, so here we're going to get started. Buckle up. Hey, this is Dr. Linda Travolute, and I want to welcome you to Prayer Rocket Academy. I am super excited that I am on this journey with you, because this is the opportunity to transform your life by transforming your prayers. We're talking about improving your relationships, your health, your finances, your walk with God. I'm talking about everything. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? I'd like you to keep this one thing in mind through this whole program. Jesus said that you can have life and have it more abundantly. So if that's true, and I choose to believe it is, because I believe in the Word of God, I believe that God's Word is truth, and I'm thinking you do too, okay? So we can pray confidently and with assurance that Jesus wants to give you and I everything that we need and more. That is life in abundance. Abundance is more than enough. Abundance is like supersizing your French fries when you go to the drive-thru. You know, they always ask you, do you want to supersize that? Yes. Yes. Most people say yes. They want the bigger, they want the better, because they don't want just the norm. And Jesus doesn't want the norm for you. He wants you to supersize it. And that's what life with Christ is all about. It's about having it in abundance. And we get the abundant life because He's paid the price for everything that we need. So with Prayer Rocket Academy, you are going to take control of your prayer life and live life on Christ's terms. Okay? You're going to put yourself in a position where your doubt and your faulty beliefs are no longer holding you back. You are going to put some new tools in your hands with this program. It's going to help you get your prayers answered. So I want to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to serve you with Prayer Rocket Academy. Ever since I was a kid, my biggest desire, my biggest dream has been to help people. I've always wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And I know that if I can make a difference in the way you pray, your life will change. And it's much more far-reaching than just you. And this is what excites me about Prayer Rocket Academy and teaching people about prayer. Because if I can teach you to pray, You can change the world. Yeah, you. Your prayers can shape other people's lives and circumstances. Your prayers can shape nations. Man, I hope that excites you. Your life is about to change, and the world around you is about to change. The world you see on TV can change because you can be a catalyst. You can be the game changer in the world. Man, I am getting fired up already. I hope you are too. Let me tell you a little bit about my background because it'll help you understand how Prayer Rock Academy came about. I spent over 20 years in full-time ministry as a pastor at one of Central Florida's largest churches, City of Life Church, pastored by Pastor Jeffrey and Amy Smith. Before them, their parents were the pastors, Pastors Gary and Janice Smith. And I served on their staff, and as I said, I've been in full-time ministry for over 20 years, and I've been teaching for over 25 years. Now, during that time, I talked with thousands and thousands of people about the Bible, about prayer, and about life's difficulties. I've walked with people contemplating suicide. I've walked with people whose loved ones had committed suicide. I've been with people on their deathbed. I've walked with people through divorce and bankruptcy. I've worked with people through teenage pregnancy and sexual abuse, church leadership issues, and all kinds of spiritual problems. See, there have been tons of situations that could have been solved had prayers been answered. And because people would ask me questions about prayer, I went to work finding answers. So this program is a synthesis of what I've learned about prayer over the last 3 decades of life and ministry. And this program's unique. My ministry experience, combined with my study in the field of psychology, has shaped the way I help people. And I'm so grateful I was able to get an undergraduate degree in biblical and pastoral theology at Southeastern University way back in the early 90s. And I combined that with my master's and doctoral degree in clinical psychology. So that gives me a unique way of approaching problems and unique insight into why people do the things that they do, which gives me understanding of why people pray the way they do and what might be the roadblocks to their belief and their faith, what causes them to give up and lose hope. So we're going to tackle all those things together in this program. We're going to see things change for you and your loved ones and the world around you. And if at any time you've got questions with this program, questions about this program and how this works, feel free to email my team at support@lindatravalute.com. Yeah, my tongue was tied there. Okay, we want to be available to you. Does that sound good? All right, so let's get started. Let me tell you what you're going to find in this program. As you unpack it, as we unpack it together, you're going to find 10 audio components. Now, some of you may be listening to these audio components digitally. It might be like on an MP3 player, or maybe you're listening to it on your computer, maybe on your smartphone, your iPhone or Android phone, or you might have the CDs. And if you have CDs, you might be listening in your car or at your house or who knows, right? So in addition to those audio components, you've got a workbook, a journal, and a companion book that's called Prayer Rocket Prayer Boosters. Now, the best way to go through this program is to listen to each audio component, preferably in order, because they correspond to the workbook. Now, I know you may be listening to these audios in a car or as you're bopping around the house or you're doing other things. So if that's the case and you don't have your workbook in front of you when I refer to it, that's okay. Just pick it up in between the other audios and get into the workbook. Each section of that workbook is going to correspond to the audio, and it'll help you change your beliefs about prayer. So it's going to help you break through some prayer habits that are ineffective, and it's going to give you hands-on application. In other words, in the workbook, we're going to work through some of the stuff that's been holding your prayers back, and we're going to use that workbook to craft some prayers that'll bring you breakthroughs and make your prayers more effective. So please don't just toss that workbook aside. There's a method to my madness, okay? So just trust me. Trust me here. Trust the process that I've created for you. It'll do you good, and it'll benefit you in ways that you can't even comprehend. So I want you to remember, I'm blending my research and knowledge on prayer with my research and knowledge in behavior and psychology to give you some incredible tools that you're gonna that you can take with you to the next level in your prayer life. So the workbook is part of the process. So again, I just want to encourage you, don't leave it behind. Maybe you could keep it front and center on your nightstand or on your desk or kitchen table and just work through it each day or maybe even in the evenings. Take a little time. Listen, I want you to hear this. You're important enough to do this. You are important enough to set some time aside to work through this. Your life will be better for it, and you are going to see changes in your circumstances, and you'll see changes in the people around you. Okay, so it's very important. Take some time to go through this process. It'll only take a few minutes a day, but it'll be well worth your time. Now let's talk about the journal. Hey, journaling is one of my favorite things. And if you've never experienced the benefits of journaling and you're not familiar with it, don't sweat, okay? I'm going to show you how you can get the most out of your journaling experience. And you are going to absolutely fall in love, not only with journaling, but something that I call prayer journaling. And it's so fun because you'll use this journal to figure things out. You're going to use it to write down prayer requests, note prayers that God's answered, and it's going to fill up your soul. It's going to be a great tool. So get ready for a growth spurt. And I'm going to explain more about the journal once I've introduced you to some of the foundational pieces. So for now, just keep that journal in a safe place, ready and within reach. Now, the supplemental book that you received called Prayer Rocket Boosters is a great standalone tool. It's sold separately, so if your friends or your family are interested, just let them know that they can purchase it on my website. But you get it for free as part of the Prayer Rocket Academy program. I'm giving it to you. It's my gift to you. You can call it a bonus or call it a blessing, whatever. It's icing on the cake because it's booster fuel for your prayers. And what's great about this book is that it can be used as a quick reference manual. So if you have a specific need and you want to get some good ideas on how to start off your prayers pertaining to that need, you can take that book and look up a prayer topic, go to the page, and it'll give you an outline complete with scripture and a prayer that you can pray based on that scripture. It'll also give you a declaration, something you can say based on that scripture. And my favorite part is the opening of every prayer booster, and it's called Picture This. That section right there is going to help you imagine or picture what life will be like when that specific prayer is answered. And it's really going to stir your faith so that you can dive in and pray. So each prayer booster is based on the Prayer Rocket framework. And it's going to model how you can put your prayers in motion and rock them up to the heavens. All right? So again, I hope you listen to these audio components in order. And once you go through them, it'll be well worth your time to listen to them again. And when you listen to them the second time, you can go ahead and mix them up, but I encourage you, listen to them again and again and again. Hey, listen, you paid for this program, and it's worth every dime you paid for it and more because it's going to change your life. So knowing the change it's going to bring, I'm sure you're going to want to suck everything you can out of it. We know that when people go through a class or they hear something audibly or they read something, they remember very little if they've only heard it once. So if you want to remember something more and get more out of it, you're going to want to listen to it more than once. In fact, experts say that a person needs to listen to something at least 7 times in order to retain it. You know, there are books and audios that I listen to over and over and over again because I want to make sure it seeps into my spirit. And, you know, really, that's why we read the Bible verses, some Bible verses over and over again, right? Because we want it to stick. And that's how our minds are renewed when we read the Word. We have to be reminded sometimes of what we've read because we tend to forget. And even Paul in the New Testament, he tells his audience. Listen, I am telling you this again to remind you. And it's just the fact that we need to be reminded, okay? So it's good if you will take this program and listen to it more than once, listen to it more than twice, maybe pull it out once a year and listen to it, and it's going to be a great benefit to you, okay? So are you ready? I am. Let's go ahead and get busy. Since your prayers are made of thoughts, we're going to spend a little time in this first section educating ourselves about thoughts so that we can pray better prayers. There's a guy named Stephen Pressfield, and he tells this story. He talks about this time he had a dream, and he was sitting cross-legged, and an eagle came and landed on his shoulders. And the eagle kind of merged with him and took him off flying so that his head became the head of the eagle, and his arms kind of became the eagle's wings. And he could feel the air under his wings as he's flying through the sky. And he described it as feeling like solid. So the air was kind of solid, like water feels when you row it with an oar. And he could push off against it. So imagine flying in the air like he was in his dream. And he could feel the air. And he was thinking, wow, this is how birds fly. He realized that it was impossible for a bird to fall out of the sky. All it had to do was extend its wings, and the solid air would hold it up with the same power. The same kind of power when we stick out our hand, you know, in a moving car. You can feel the air, right, whizzing by. And he said he was pretty impressed with that movie that was playing in his head, but he had no idea what it meant. So he asked the eagle, he said, what am I supposed to be learning from this? And a voice answered and said, you're supposed to learn that things that you think are weight. They're like air. They seem like nothing, but they're actually powerful, substantial forces that are as real and as solid as earth. I thought that was a great analogy of how our thoughts are really so solid and so real, but we don't realize how real they are because they're not tangible in the sense that we can touch our thoughts. But our thoughts make things tangible. Our thoughts make things happen. Okay, so we're going to spend some time talking about thoughts, because if our thoughts are warped in some way, then our prayers are going to be warped in some way. Because again, prayers are shaped by our thoughts, right? It takes thought to shape prayers. So let me ask you a question. How was prayer modeled to you by your parents or your pastors or spiritual leaders? Think about that. I can remember my grandmother and my grandfather always kneeling when they prayed. You know, when they went to bed every night, they would kneel. And that shaped my prayers or my prayer habits. When I was a kid, I would kneel on the side of my bed and I would pray. But is that the only way to pray? Of course not. I do a lot of praying nowadays as I'm walking around my office or my bedroom. I mean, I pray constantly. I don't just pray when I'm on my knees. I mean, there are moments when I'm on my knees in prayer, but I'll be honest with you, at night, I don't kneel down beside my bed and pray like I did back then. I did that during that season of my young life because it was modeled to me. And yes, you can pray like that. But I share that story to make you realize that the way you pray has been modeled to you by maybe your grandparents or your parents, maybe a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor. And that's good in some ways, but it can also be bad because sometimes we pick up habits that aren't so good. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe why we pray the way we do. And I want you to also know that some of the experiences you've had with prayer that have caused disappointment, that also shapes illusions of prayer that you live by. So let's take a moment and let's just stop and think about your life. Are there areas that you aren't really expecting God's goodness to manifest? Be honest. Think about that. Do you think your loved one is always going to be ill? Do you think that that broken friendship will never be made whole? How about this? Are you too unattractive to get married? Those are some big questions. A guy named Francis Frangipane said it this way. Every area of your life that does not have glistening hope is under the influence of a lie. Whoa. Let's compare that to that scripture, John 8:32. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want you to know the truth, because I want you to be free. Truth is important, but how do you know if it's really true? How do you know if some of the things that you've learned about prayer over the years are really true? The answer, my friend, is to get in God's word and to see what His truth says about it. And then attack any lies over your life with the truth today. Okay? Let me give you some examples. In fact, these are kind of stupid prayers. And I confess, you know, I've said prayers like this countless times, and I'm sure you have as well. And don't feel bad, you know, I'm sure you've done this as well. Have you ever prayed something like, "Oh Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me"? Think about that. You know, God might be thinking, "My goodness, don't they remember reading that I promised never to leave them or forsake them?" You know, you can check that out in Hebrews 13:5. The Bible says, "I will never leave you or fail you. I will never abandon you." Well, then why would we say, "Oh Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me"? Because He is the Spirit. You see how we kind of pray goofy prayers? Or how about this? If you're praying, "God, please hear me. I need your touch today. I need your touch. I need to feel your presence." You know, God's probably thinking, "Hey, I already put myself on the inside of you. If you can't feel me, wake up." Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay? He lives in you. So if you can't feel Him, you're the one with the problem, right? No, you know, I'm just kind of making light of these things, but I just want to give you an idea of how sometimes our prayers are kind of goofy. How about this? If you're praying, "God, come visit us. We need a visitation." You know, God might be thinking, "Hey, I don't do visits. I'm a permanent resident who abides in your heart. I'm with you all the time." In fact, Matthew 28:20 says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's good stuff. If you've ever prayed, "God, please be with us today in our church service or in our meeting," God might be thinking, "How ridiculous. I told them I'd be with them when they gathered together in my name. Get a clue." Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Or how about this? "God, empower me. I need your power to do this or to tackle this project." And you know what? God might be thinking, "Hey, listen, that same power that raised Christ from the dead resides inside of you. How much more power do you want? You have all you need. Use it." Do you see how crazy we get with our prayers? Ephesians 1:19 through 20 says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." So, you know, we all pray stupid prayers, all right? And the reason we do that is because we don't understand what God's already given us. Or sometimes we just forget. And again, that's why we need to be reminded. So if I came over to your house tonight and I handed you the keys and the title to my car, and I said, I'm giving you my car. It's yours. Okay? And then I walk away. But then next week, you call me on the phone and you say, I need to use your car. Can I take it to the store? You know, I'd be thinking, that's silly. I told you it was yours. I handed you the keys and the title. Why are you asking me for something I already gave you? You see, you don't need more of God. You have all of God you're going to get. You just need to find out more about what you have and then thank God for the things that he's given you. All right? So don't feel stupid. You're growing, and so am I. We're still on a journey learning more and more about prayer. We still, you know, none of us have it right. None of us have it all wrapped up. And we go from glory to glory, right? That's the cool thing. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's a great scripture. And it's very encouraging because it's so easy for us to slip into that stupid mode. I do it too. But let's smarten up and learn as much as we can about what God's already given us through his son, Jesus Christ. If we recognize and thank him for it, then we're no longer going to pray stupid prayers and we'll start having more of what God's already given us. So I want to encourage you to remember your past experience with prayer, because you need to become aware of how it may have shaped the way you pray today. And then secondly, understand how your past experience with prayer can also limit how you pray today. All right? So knowing those things, you have a choice to make. At the beginning of this program, Prayer Rocket Academy, you have a choice to pray differently. Okay? We're going to learn some incredible things together, and we're going to be praying in a new way. You're going to have to change some of your old prayer habits and form some new ones, and that can be pretty exciting, and it can be pretty tough sometimes to shift gears, but I'm going to do it with you, okay? So remember, you're going to make a choice to open up your mind and do some things differently, pray differently, and maybe let go of some of those things that have shaped the way you've prayed in the past. Okay? Are you ready to do that? I think you are. All right, so let's move on. We need to know that we can't make God move with our prayers. A lot of people think, well, we're just going to shake the heavens and move God with our prayers. Well, let me tell you, God's not moved by your prayers or by your singing and dancing or, you know, any kind of thing you do. Not even confession. Confession doesn't even make God move. So if you're thinking, well, I'm going to quote this scripture, by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm going to do it 100 times, and it's going to force God to heal me. No, you can't make God do anything. Faith doesn't even move God. Did you hear me? Faith doesn't even move God. God, by his grace, has already moved as much as he's going to move. He's already provided everything. Your need was abundantly supplied before you even had it. All right? So since the Lord's already done it, you confess God's word to encourage your own heart and to drive off the devil. And it might take you confessing that word maybe 100 times before you actually believe it. You can read more about that in Romans 10:17. But God's not the one who needs to move. You do. He already has moved. Confession moves you into faith, and it moves the devil out of the way so that your prayers can be answered. So you can't move God with your prayers. It just doesn't work. God has already moved, so that's not what praying is all about. Okay, so I just want to make sure you understood that at the top of this program. And the second thing you need to understand is this: God is not angry with you. It doesn't matter if you have not had big prayers answered. Maybe there are some prayers that you've been praying for years, and you might think, well, the reason that God hasn't answered those prayers is because God's angry with me. I want you to know right now, God is not angry with you. Okay, Proverbs 19:12 says, "The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." Okay, the Bible tells us there that the devil likes to walk around. In fact, we read about this in 1 Peter 5:8. He says that the Bible says the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, but have you ever wondered why he acts like a roaring lion? Again, the key word is act. Okay, it's got something to do with the lion's roar. Because in the Bible, the roaring of a lion speaks about the king's wrath. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. Okay, so when the devil walks around like a roaring lion, he's trying to give you the impression that the king is angry with you. And when you believe that God's angry with you, the devil knows he's got you. When you think that God's angry or displeased with you, you're not going to be confident in his love toward you. And that's going to affect your prayer life. So instead, you'll expect fear and punishment from him. And that will make you want to stay away from him. And you don't want to stay away from God. But you'll fear him because you don't want to incur his wrath, right? You don't want God to be angry with you. And the truth is that God is not angry with you, even when you fail, even when you blow it. And it's because your sins have already been forgiven. Your sins have already been judged. So God's not going to judge you. He judged his son in your place. And listen, the same crime can't be tried twice. Okay, so I'm letting you know right now that God's wrath will never fall on you if you're a believer in Christ, because his wrath has already fallen on his son. He's already judged your sins. He judged his son in your place. So you are not under God's wrath. You're under his favor. And his favor is going to rain down on you like the dew on the grass every morning. So please understand that God is not mad at you. He is not angry with you, okay? There is something so important here. I need you to understand that the cross changed everything for us. It changed the way we pray. Most Bible translations say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. But the original Greek word for God isn't theos, it's Christos, for Christ. See, faith doesn't come simply by hearing the word of God, because the word of God encompasses everything in the Old and New Testaments, right? That would include the law of Moses. And reading the law of Moses, that's not going to stir your faith. It's going to bring guilt and condemnation and make you feel like God's angry with you, because no one can keep the law perfectly. So faith comes when you hear the word of Christ. That means that you are rightly dividing the word of truth by filtering the rest of the Bible through the new covenant of grace. That's what Jesus did for you on the cross. So again, the cross changed everything. It changes the way we pray. So you need to always think about praying after what Jesus did on the cross for you. Okay? Everything changed when he died on the cross. So when you read the Bible and everything up to his death on the cross, that's the old part. Everything from his death on the cross on is now how we shape our prayers. Okay, that's rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you divide the word of truth. You divide the old covenant from the new covenant. Okay, so remember, I told you that you're going to have these past experiences with prayer that you're going to have to think about, and because they have shaped the way you pray today. So as you learn how to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to understand how those experiences with prayer were limited and how they limit how you pray. So again, you have a decision to make. You're going to pray differently, knowing that everything changed with the cross. God is not angry with you. Everything is different because of the cross, okay? So in fact, right now we're going to take a moment to just pray. I want to encourage you to even repeat this after me, okay? Here goes. God, what I heard about prayer all my life isn't necessarily true. I decide right now to trade any beliefs that I had about prayer that don't line up with what Christ has given me. I'm going to trade those all away. And instead, I will walk in the blessings of God. I will have everything I need today because Christ loves me. It has nothing to do with what I've done or what I deserve. All the blessings of God are mine because I believe that Christ paid for them on the cross, and I may access them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about some of the mistakes that we make with the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going to shake you up a little bit, and it's going to challenge you, but you have to understand that the Lord's Prayer and the way that you've seen it used, or maybe even the way you have used it, is not the way Jesus meant for it to be used. And again, this is going to challenge you. It's going to challenge some of the old prayer habits that you have, some of the things that's been modeled to you, okay? But think about this. The Lord's Prayer, and if you want to look it up, it's in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. It goes through verse 13. It isn't really a true New Testament prayer. Now consider what we just talked about, that after the cross, everything changed, okay? Prayer changed. The way we approach God changed after Jesus died on the cross. Everything changed, okay? So that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, wasn't even prayed in the name of Jesus. If you'll remember, right before Jesus died, he told his disciples this. He said, up until this time, you've asked nothing in my name. But now, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. You can read that in John 16, verse 23 and 24. So a new covenant prayer is a prayer that's prayed in the name of Jesus. And the Lord's Prayer wasn't prayed in the name of Jesus. See, again, we've got to divide the old and the new covenant, rightly divide the word of truth. And let me just pause for a moment here, because some people think that the new covenant begins with the book of Matthew, because the book of Matthew begins the New Testament, but that's not where the new covenant begins. The new covenant begins when Christ died on the cross. That's the new covenant. That is where it begins, okay? So just remember it. At the cross is where everything changed, even our prayers. So the Lord's Prayer, okay, he was giving us a model for prayer, but it's not something we're supposed to repeat and recite all the time. Okay, he was showing us the way to start a prayer off was to begin by acknowledging who God is and acknowledge our Father in heaven. Okay, so we have to get away from this idea of praying the Lord's Prayer and doing it as a religious duty, because that doesn't earn you anything from God. It's nothing more than vain repetition, and Jesus taught against that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But the Lord's Prayer does show us that we're to enter a time of prayer with praise. I love the passage in Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." That's beautiful. That's how you're supposed to begin prayer. So as the Lord's Prayer begins in Matthew 6, 9, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So yes, we're acknowledging who God is to us. He's our Father. We're approaching him not as this big ogre in the sky who's shaking his finger at us and judging us, or this big omnipotent being who's going to smack us upside the head if we do something wrong. No. We come into his presence worshiping him, thanking him for his kindness to us, and giving him praise and worship, thanking him for being so loving to us. He's our Father. We're thanking him for that special relationship. We're reminding ourselves of his goodness and his mercy. You know, what would you think if you saw a little kid come to their parent and say, "Oh, mommy, I know I haven't talked to you all day long, and you must be so upset with me. Please forgive me. Again, forgive me." And then the child just continues to beg his mother, beg and plead for mercy and ask for forgiveness. Man, you'd think, wow, that mom has made that child so afraid to come near her unless he does everything right. You know, it looks like that if that child hasn't talked to that mom all day long, the mom's going to be mad. Oh, come on, that's not how it works. Every one of us has been guilty, though, haven't we, of entering God's presence with this sense of unworthiness. You know, feeling like, oh man, I haven't read my Bible enough, or I haven't prayed enough, and I haven't, you know, done everything I need to do. I haven't been to church every week. I haven't tithed exactly 10% of my income, and so God's going to be mad at me. No, that's not true. Now, here's another misconception or misunderstanding we have about the Lord's Prayer. In verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So look, if you'll notice, verse 11 isn't a question. There's no question mark at the end. It's not saying, "Oh God, I know I don't deserve this, but would you please give me something to eat today?" No, this is pretty much a statement or even a demand that says, "God, give me my daily bread." But it's not an arrogant demand. It's not like you're forcing God, or the person that's praying this prayer is forcing God. It's more like a kid who comes to his mom in the kitchen at mealtime and says, "Mom, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. Please, I want something to eat. Give me something to eat." So does that mom slap that kid and say, "No, get down on your knees. Beg me. Beg me for your bread. Beg me for your meal." No. Why? Why doesn't it happen that way? Because there's a relationship between parent and child, and it's a loving relationship that allows that child to feel comfortable approaching that parent with his need, with his hunger. And that boldness allows him to say, "Mom, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat." And you know what? God yearns for his children to believe that everything they need is in his hands. He's already made it. They just have to reach out by faith and take it. I love Hebrews 4:16 talks about that. You know, we're not making God do something, but we know in our heart that he's already supplied it and that he so willingly gives us what we need. So we can approach him that way. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to say, "God, pretty please," no. Just take it. Take what he's already done. Okay? Now, here's another piece that can sometimes mess us up. Matthew 6, 12, and 13, where it talks about forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation." Okay, right there, it's pretty obvious that this is not a new covenant prayer. Why? Because your sins were already taken care of at the cross. You don't need to keep confessing them and even praying, God, forgive me of my sins. You know, this is something I had to learn because as a kid, I was taught that every night when I went to bed, I needed to ask forgiveness every day. In fact, I was taught that every time I screwed up, I needed to repent immediately and ask God to forgive me. But listen, Jesus paid the price once, and it was such a heavy price. It took care of all of our sins. All of our sins, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. We are as forgiven as we're ever going to be. So you don't even have to pray, God, don't lead me into temptation. Of course, God's not going to lead you into temptation. Would a loving father lead you into temptation? See how whacked that is? Okay, the reason Jesus talked about these things before the cross, okay, he talked about them before the cross because he was led into temptation on our behalf to overcome the devil. Matthew 4, 1 through 11 talks about that. So if you're being led into temptation, you can be sure that it's not God, okay? Check out James chapter 1, 13 and 14. Okay, so you can pray this. Father, I know it's not your will for me to be tempted. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. All right? Through faith in Christ, you have transferred into a new realm. Okay, you have been delivered out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. So you don't have to worry about confessing your sins anymore and even unforgiveness tripping up your prayers. All that changed at the cross. Let me tell you why all that changed at the cross. At the cross, Jesus saved us. Okay, he paid the price for every sin we've ever committed, every sin we will ever commit in the future. Okay, he saved us. Now that word saved in the New Testament, that Greek word is sozo, S-O-Z-O, zozo, okay? That word means that you are saved not only from your sins, but that salvation is so powerful, it saves you from everything. Not just your sins, it saves you from sickness, it saves you from poverty, it saves you from everything. It saves you from any type of loss that you could incur. It saves you from relationship issues. It saves you from catastrophe. That word sozo means salvation in every realm of your life. So when I tell you that the cross changed everything for us, it was the game changer, you can know that your prayers can be prayed differently, knowing that everything you need has already been provided for you. This allows you to stop begging. You don't have to beg God for anything. Stop begging, stop pleading, and just start taking and receiving. We're going to talk more about that. That's a big concept. And again, it's going to cause you to shift gears because you're going to have to start thinking about this in a new light. You don't have to beg God. You know, people misunderstand that story about the persistent widow in the Bible, and they think that, well, you have to keep begging God. You have to be persistent. because that's sometimes what it takes for God to answer your prayers. But that is not what that story was about. This widow was persistent because she didn't know for sure if Jesus was going to heal her. Okay, keep in mind, at this point, Jesus hadn't paid for her healing on the cross. So the thing that she was requesting, that healing, wasn't promised to her yet. Do you see the difference? Do you see why we have to think about what we read in the Bible? We have to compare it to whether or not it was before the cross or after the cross. It changes the way we pray. Okay, the idea of the persistent widow, you know, coming at God over and over again with persistence, and people say, well, it's because you just have to show God that you're not going to give up. No, listen, God's not hard of hearing. It's that we're hard of hearing. We need to keep repeating his promises because we need to hear it. It stretches our faith. It increases our faith. It reminds us of what we've been promised. Okay? So sometimes it helps us to hear those promises over and over and over again. It builds our belief. Okay? The persistent widow, the Bible says that she had shameless determination. And that's why her prayer was answered. Because she had determination. Okay, you can know you have faith when you have shameless determination. Okay, so it's not the fact that she kept asking over and over and over again. It's just that she had determination. She was going to get what she needed. You know, there are two kinds of prayer, okay? You can pray a request, you can ask, okay? That's when you need something and you don't know if it's God's will for you to have it, but you ask. You ask anyway. That's a request. That's kind of like when Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still, okay? He was asking God to do that. It was a request to help him accomplish what God wanted him to do. And at that point, there had not been a precedent in the Bible. Nobody had ever asked the sun to stand still before, right? And it's not something that was ever promised us. Okay, so that's the kind of prayer request, all right? Now, the other kind of prayer is a declaration. And that's speaking into existence by faith something that God has already told us we can have. That's speaking a promise into existence. You are declaring what God has already told you you could have. So you don't have to ask for the things that he's already told you you could have. You just speak them and you thank God for them and you tell them to come to you. So if you don't know the difference, it doesn't matter. Just speak up anyway and try to find some scriptures that will back that up. And we're going to dive deeper into that in the next few audios. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of all that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But just know that the cross changed everything. When you're trying to figure out how to pray, and you look at the different things that you see in the Bible about prayer, just ask yourself, was this before the cross or after the cross? Because you need to pattern your prayers after the cross. Okay? We'll talk more about that later. So right now would be a great time to grab your workbook and dive into it. I want to encourage you not to leave that workbook behind. It is super important because as you open it up, you're going to go to section one, and that's what corresponds with this first audio, and you're going to see some questions there, and you're going to see some space where you can write your answers. And don't think of this like a big, hairy ordeal. It's a process that you'll go through to help you pray better prayers. But in order to pray better prayers, like we discussed earlier, you have to have the right thoughts. And that's why we spent so much time in this audio talking about the cross and how to pattern your prayers after the cross, thinking about what Christ did for you on that cross. So in this workbook section, You're going to investigate some of the misconceptions that you've grown up with about prayer, some of the faulty belief systems that you have about prayer, and it's simply because of the way it was modeled to you by key people in your life, or maybe even preachers or teachers that you've seen on TV, and they just had maybe a faulty understanding of prayer and how it's done. So take some time, look over the questions, reflect on them, think through them, write down the answers, and you'll see that it'll really help you to turn the corner and to start thinking about prayer through the eyes of the cross. Okay? Go for it.